The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Truly he is risen. Alleluia. We come to this fourth Sunday of Easter, known as Good Shepherd Sunday. This beautiful image that Jesus gives is perhaps slightly lost upon us living in urban 21st century America. We don't quite get what a shepherd's life is and what a shepherd's relationship with his sheep is. We see the image of Jesus with a lamb thrown over his shoulders, and that appeals to us. We see a certain tenderness that is there. The lamb is being carried by the shepherd, and certainly we take much comfort knowing that when we are worn out by the journey, that Jesus will carry us. His strength provides where our weakness fails. But there's something more to that image. That it was only a few years ago, as I was leading a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, that our guide was explaining to us as we were going through the area of the Bedouin shepherds, the people who still live there in Palestine, still tend roaming flocks of sheep on that very arid terrain. And our guide explained to us that the reason that the shepherd is carrying the sheep over his shoulders is that that little lamb is the one that always tried to get away. That little lamb is the one that would go scampering off in the different direction. That little lamb is the one that didn't listen to the shepherd's voice and was prone to stray. And so eventually what happens is that the shepherd takes that little lamb, and get ready for it, breaks its leg, and then binds the leg up. And for the next 6 weeks, that lamb is carried by the shepherd, and the two are inseparable. And when finally the leg is fully healed, that lamb has developed such a close relationship with the shepherd, it is not tempted to run away. It knows the shepherd's voice, and it stays close to the shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but that was not my understanding when I see those beautiful images of the lamb over the shepherd's shoulders. It was not that he was there because the shepherd had broken its leg. Ouch! That hurts. But then what do we understand from this image of how the Lord works through the pain that comes into our lives? So many times people ask me, Father, this pandemic, do you think it's a chastisement from God? I don't know. It could be. But what I do know is that our suffering is real, and God is always at work in our lives, and so he can work through that suffering and bring something good out of it. He never lets evil have the last word. And so we understand that in the first reading, St. Peter, in his preaching, says that the first thing that has to happen for us to be followers of Christ is to repent. So let's look at our lives right now in the light of this disruption, in the light of everything having ground to a halt. And let's ask that probing question. Is my life pleasing to God? Was everything that happened before we came to this stay-at-home order, before everything ground to a halt, was everything that was going on in my life, do I really think that it was pleasing to God? Or had I gotten caught up in a whirlwind of activities? Had I been sucked into the great American dream of making our heaven here on earth? Had I been so full of myself and my plans that I wasn't paying attention to the shepherd's voice? Or that I had allowed the shepherd's voice be drowned out by all the noise in my life, the constant busyness? Now is the time to ask. Because the pain of these weeks is wasted if as soon as the orders are lifted, the restrictions are no more, we go back to life as it was before. That would be a tragedy. So let's imagine our little leg got broken so the shepherd can put us on his shoulders and develop with us an intimacy so that when we heal, we stay close to him. When we're able to walk and scamper about again, we don't stray, go off and do things our own way. We still listen to the voice of the shepherd who guides us to the true green pastures where refreshment awaits. You know, so often when suffering comes into our lives, we want to blame God. You know, why did you send me this cross? Or why did you permit this suffering to come to me? Why don't you work a miracle and stop it? The Lord works through the brokenness of our lives. That's where his mercy enters. For so often when we are not broken, we're not paying attention. We're full of ourselves. This second reading speaks beautifully. By his wounds, we have been healed. You and I can focus so much on our suffering that we forget Christ's passion, what he was willing to undergo, not by compulsion, but out of a free choice to love no matter what, to love even unto death. By his wounds, we have been healed. So whenever we're tempted to look at our own struggles, the burdens we carry, let's remember our shepherd took on every burden there is so we would know that we are not alone in those times of darkness. But let's think also about those wounds we bear. You know, I remember several years ago reading a story about some people who live in Florida. And even though they have nicer weather, they also have other dangers that are worse than our state bird of the mosquito. And this family was out for a beautiful day in nature. And all of a sudden, as they're on the grass next to a pond, an alligator comes up and grabs their young child and starts dragging in the water. And the dad lunges for the boy and grabs hold of the boy's arms and starts this ferocious tug of war back and forth with this alligator. And finally, the alligator lets go. And they rush the boy to the hospital, and he's in intensive care, and people are starting to come and bring him treats and ooh and ah over this great adventure he's had and thanking God for his safety. And they're looking at his poor legs that have been so torn up by those sharp teeth. And the boy smiles. And he shows his arms. He says, "Look at my arms." And there in his arms, they're all black and blue. And there are puncture wounds where his father's nails had torn into his flesh. And he said, "This is how much my father loves me. He wouldn't let go." And sometimes you and I need to find in our wounds, not that God has left us unattended, not that God didn't pay attention to our suffering, not that God sat on high in distant majesty and said, "I'm going to dole out to them a cross." But that God saw us being swept away, about to be lost. And God grabbed hold of us and wouldn't let go. And you and I can look at our wounds and say, "Where was God?" Or we can blame him. And did God give me these wounds? Yes, sometimes he does. But not for the sake of wounding, not for the sake of punishment, for the sake of rescuing us. He saves us. And sometimes it's not that there is some demon out there dragging us off. Sometimes you and I go merrily on our way, 180 degrees opposite of where we should be. And sometimes you and I feel like we're running into a brick wall. And I remember being over to visit one of my godchildren. And it was a beautiful day, and we were sitting on the back deck, and my godchild kept running towards the edge of the deck. And so the parents took turns standing there and blocking the child. And the child would go like this and say, "Let me past. I want to go." But they wouldn't let the child run off the edge and get hurt. And the child would be frustrated and cry. But sometimes you and I go running headlong towards the cliff and utter destruction. And God stands in our way and blocks us. And you and I may think we get bloody bashing our heads against a brick wall. Why won't this wall give way? Why can't I get through? And it's God's love that is blocking us. My dear brothers and sisters, the shepherd is calling. And maybe with less airplanes and less rush hour and less extracurricular activities, maybe as everything else is a little bit quieter right now, can we listen for his voice? Can we readjust our course? Can we seek closeness with him rather than, "I'm going to do things my way on my timeline"? Because I have to tell you that you don't need a crystal ball to see that the world as we were living was not pleasing to God. So what's going to be different? How are we going to change? Are we willing to repent and shape a new life in Christ rather than turning to an old life in which Christ was marginal at best? It is this new life that Christ won for us by his resurrection, a life full of grace, peace, and joy, a life won by his wounds. Can we let that love, that mercy, that grace enter our lives through our wounds? Can we re-examine, reorder, reprioritize our lives to be pleasing to God? That through this ordeal, we see come to birth something beautiful and new and holy. Christ, the Good Shepherd, will never give up seeking the lost sheep. Can we find in our hearts the desire to be found, the desire to be rescued, the desire to follow him rather than go our own way?